The reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, starting at verse 42. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Too. It'd be great if you had that Mark passage in front of you, and I want to look at it with you this morning. I know that we've actually studied this recently in our growth groups, but I want to begin with this question, and I'm going to hold this up. What are your fears in being a Christian, or about being a Christian? What are you fearful about in terms of being a Christian? I was thinking about this. There may be fears that people have about the truth of Christianity. Is Christianity true? For example, is Jesus God's son? Maybe I'm fearful about that. Maybe he isn't really all that he's cracked up to be. On this Easter Sunday morning, obviously another big thing is Jesus really risen from the dead? Christianity turns on the fact, everything revolves around the fact that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Indeed, if he's not raised from the dead, then our faith is futile, as the Apostle Paul said. And linked to that, can I trust his word? Maybe we're fearful. Can I really trust this word that we look at this morning, Mark's Gospel, or the rest of the New Testament and the Bible? So we could be fearful about that. We could be fearful about our experience of being a Christian. For instance, are all my sins really forgiven? Is everything that might cut me off from God, are they really forgiven? Even the sin maybe that I've fallen into this week again, that habitual sin that I do, am I really forgiven even that? Perhaps we are fearful about this. Will he love me forever? Could I fall out of his love for me in some way? A fear that some people have. And then in the current crisis, with all the uncertainty in life and the certainty in death, can I trust the Lord Jesus in death? Maybe I'm fearful about that. Many fears that we might have. And then lastly, just in terms of serving Jesus and following Jesus, Jesus said that anybody who wants to follow him must deny himself, take up his cross and follow. And you might think, is that worth it? Maybe you have fears about that. Is that really worth giving everything for Jesus? Is it worth giving all to follow Jesus. Many fears that we might have. And what I want to do is to look at what Mark has to say about the resurrection. He wants to convince us with evidence for the truth of the resurrection, but Mark also wants to teach us the significance and meaning of that resurrection for those who would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that I personally am convinced that Mark's gospel does end at verse 8. Some people think there is a slightly longer ending, but for all kinds of reasons that I'm not going to go into now, I'm convinced that Mark ends his gospel with these words. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, because they were fearful. And we're going to see that Mark wants us not to be fearful, but to trust the risen Jesus. So firstly, let's just think about the evidence that Mark presents us with. The first thing, that Jesus was dead and buried. The wonderful thing about Roman centurions was that they were experts in killing people and executing people. They didn't make mistakes. And it's interesting that here we have, Mark records how earlier the centurion had seen how Jesus died. And here he's called on to convince a skeptical Pilate. Verse 44, Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Jesus had died quickly. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. It's interesting that Mark emphasizes he was already dead, he had already died, it was so he had died. You see, the Roman authorities checked the centurion, Pilate, Jesus really was dead. It wasn't a question of him being put in a tomb and coming back to life. And he was buried. Verse 43, we've been introduced to Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council. And Mark tells us that he went boldly to Pilate. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was a God-fearer in some way. And he was given the body of Jesus. Verse 46, so Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Here was somebody who handled the dead body of the Lord Jesus. He wrapped the body, and then Jesus was clearly buried, and the dead body was sealed in a rock tomb. Jesus was dead, he was buried, and the women, we're told, saw where he was laid. Verse 47. Here are numerous witnesses of the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, therefore, we can have confidence in those facts. The body was checked, it was taken down, he was dead, it was wrapped, it was buried, the tomb was sealed, and all this was seen and observed. But then secondly, we have the evidence that Jesus was raised. The women had seen where he was buried, and the next morning they go to embalm the body with their spices. They bought expensive spices in order to anoint Jesus' body. They went to find a corpse. They didn't know how they were going to move the stone. But it's fascinating, isn't it, as you look at this account, that women are named. Four women: Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of Joseph, Mary mother of James, and Salome. Named women and named sons. Let me just say, why mention names? I personally think that it was so that the early church could speak to these people and question them What did you see? What did you hear? What did your mother hear and see? And again, it's striking, isn't it, that it is women who are named here. The evidence for the risen Jesus is given first to women. They're the witnesses. And it's striking because a woman's evidence in those days was not legally valid. And if you were fabricating, you wouldn't include this detail. Now, what's interesting, as we'll see in a moment, is that Mark is going to end his gospel in a way which says that the women got something wrong. We're going to see that the men got something wrong as well. Don't worry. But there are three big surprises when the women arrive at the tomb. Surprise one, verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. So the first surprise is that the stone is rolled away. Surprise two, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. There is this man dressed in white, an angel, we're told in other gospels. Let me tell you, I think it's great, wonderful that angels involved. It reminds us that we're not dealing in Christianity with just morality, doing good. We're interested and concerned with the supernatural. This is about God working in history. Most people get Christianity totally wrong. They think it's just about doing good, but this is about the supernatural. This is about God at work. And here is this angel with extraordinary news. Surprise three. Don't be alarmed, he said. Verse 6. You're looking for Jesus of Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. The women are invited to examine the evidence. The news is that Jesus was killed and buried. They knew that. But now he is risen. He's not here. The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus rests on the fact the tomb was empty and that Jesus was raised. Here is the explanation. Jesus is risen. He's been raised to life. And we'll see that Mark wants to teach us something through their reaction. What does Mark want to teach us about the resurrection? Mark doesn't actually include resurrection appearances. He ends his gospel very deliberately on these words. They said nothing to anyone, that is the women, because they were afraid. He wants to teach us through an unusual and surprising ending, which should make us sit up and think and respond rightly. Because as we picked up from reporter Anna, he had told them that he must suffer and die and then be raised to life. In verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Just as he told you. They'd had ample evidence of who Jesus was. He'd taught them clearly. He must suffer and die, and after 3 days, be raised to life. But verse 8, the women went away and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. What does Mark want to teach us about the resurrection? Well, first of all, that the risen Jesus is good news for sinners. Look at it in this great message that the women are meant to convey. They don't at first, we're told. We do know that they do eventually. It's great news. Because one of the ways that we know that Peter was told is that we have Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is based on the Apostle Peter's testimony. But look at verse 7. I think it's a wonderful verse in the Bible. A wonderful verse. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. That may not seem very striking at first, but think about Peter and those disciples. Peter and the disciples had doubted Jesus, they denied Jesus, they disowned Jesus, they had deserted Jesus. Peter had actually said earlier to Jesus himself, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. We're told all the disciples said exactly the same thing that Peter had said. But the Peter and the disciples, they doubted, they denied, they disowned, they deserted. They were miserable sinners. They hadn't got it right. And here in verse 7, look at it, is the promise of the risen Jesus of forgiveness and restoration for failed, sinful disciples. Here is good news for Jesus. See, the risen Jesus is good news for all sinners. We know that Jesus dies as a ransom for our sins, to free us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. But how can we know? What is the proof, if you like? What is the evidence that our sin has been dealt with? The Lord Jesus is raised. That is, if you like, the big tick, the big confirmation that sin has been paid for. Romans 4, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. How can we know that we're declared right with God and our sins are forgiven? Because Jesus was raised to life. That payment for sin has been accepted. And here is good news for sinners. Good news for sinners. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, how can I know that my sin has been dealt with and I'm forgiven? The risen Jesus meets sinners and forgives them all their sin. We can be restored. We can be reconciled to him. And we can serve afresh as forgiven and restored sinners. But then secondly, the risen Jesus is good news for the faithful. Good news, sorry, for the fearful. Trust the risen Jesus. It's good news for the fearful. Trust the risen Jesus. We're told in verse 8, they were trembling and bewildered. The women, they went away and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, because they were fearful. And Mark ends his gospel there with that tantalizing question, if you like, to us. Don't be like them. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Don't be like these women. Now, in case you think that's unfair, remember, look at how the men have been complete failures. Peter and all the disciples. Here are the women initially failing. They should have had faith, just as he told you. Mark wants to say they should have had faith. And fear against faith runs through Mark's gospel all the way. I wish I could pick up all the examples. I only pick up two. Remember when Jesus calms the storm in Mark chapter 4? And the disciples, all terribly worried and fearful. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Even at that early part of the gospel, they had had enough evidence to trust that Jesus really was the Son of God, and to trust this Jesus and to follow him. But fear there is contrasted with faith. They should have trusted him, but they were fearful. And Jesus rebukes them. Have you no faith? And then in the Transfiguration, that great story where Peter, James and John go up the hill, and there is the Lord Jesus seen in all his glory. And Moses and Elijah appear, the Old Testament confirming, great characters of the Old Testament confirming who Jesus is. And we're told that Peter, James and John were so frightened. They were so frightened. But again, they should have trusted Jesus. Fear is contrasted with faith. And on that transfiguration, the voice from heaven says of God the Father, this is what is said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Yes, Jesus really is God's Son. Look at all the evidence through Mark's Gospel. He comes with all of God's power and authority. And then the Father says from heaven at that transfiguration, as these disciples are frightened, "Listen to him. You can trust him. You can trust his words." So when we come to the end of the gospel here in verse 8, they were trembling and bewildered, these women. Yes, of course it was extraordinary. But wouldn't we expect God coming to this earth to do something extraordinary, to show his power over death by raising his Son? But they were trembling and bewildered. They were afraid. They said nothing to anyone. And Mark wants to say to us, don't be like that. Don't be like that. You see, this is good news for the fearful. Trust the risen Jesus. What a reminder that is, that this time of uncertainty, in all the uncertainty and insecurity of life at the moment, trust this risen Jesus. Look at the evidence of who he is. You can trust his word. You can trust that your sins are forgiven because Jesus has been raised. And it is worth giving everything to follow him.